This is John Floridus. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today is Laksa Kartel. This is John Floridus. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome today Ruth Data and Chris DuPerry from the group Laksa Kartel. Great to have you guys in the studio.
Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. Before we get any further, we want to let folks know that laksakartel.com is the name of the website, and the band's name is spelled L-O-C-K-S-A-W, Kartel, laksakartel.com. Let's maybe, actually, we're going to come back to that. We're going to come back to the name because this is very interesting to me. But before we get further, let's talk about the other members of the band. Make sure we include their names.
Well, we have Matthew Mitschke on drums, Ben Schuberg on piano and trumpet, flute, Ed Risen on bass guitar. He also plays piano. And on the album, it's Tal Slaughter. And he has chosen to spend more time with his family. So we found a new player to play bass.
Okay. We will be talking about the new recording, Locksaw Cartel. But let's go back to Locksaw Cartel and the name and where that name came from. Obviously, the sound of it is going to sound familiar to our listeners in the area in terms of the Locksaw River, but it's not spelled like that. So
We spend a lot of time on Highway 12, and it's been a place we've gone for quite a few of our adventures since we've met Chris and I. And I feel like being from Montana and born and raised, you know, I really wanted to find something that, you know, something about our wilderness. And also I know it, part of it's in Idaho, but it is, you know, where we get some of our greatest music from. It's just a really powerful place. And Montana's got some pretty extreme beauty. And I just think that we wanted to name our project after something that's part of that.
Great. And why the play on the spelling?
Well, we had to make it our own a little bit.
Sure, sure.
Can't just steal the river's name. So we switched the spelling just a bit so that we could. It's also a little bit easier in some regards than L-O-C-H-S-A, you know, yeah. L-O-C-K-S-A-W. It's also bringing in part the word lock and saw, which, you know, they're good. They're good images for our music.
It definitely separates it from anything to do with the river as well. And when coming up with band names, we kept mulling over millions of ideas, and it's like, oh no, someone has that. Somebody in Wisconsin has that name. Somebody in New York has this name. So this way, it definitely separates it from everything. You can't go wrong when you try to find us.
And lest anybody get too much of a touchy-feely kind of vibe from the band, you put cartel on the other end of it.
Right.
We thought it'd be kind of entertaining just so that, you know, I've been getting really quite a bit of enjoyment out of, like, mailing out our music, and it just says Locksaw Cartel is just the return address.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Nice. Well, speaking of that, let's talk about the new recording. This is a very fresh project and your first project together. So let's talk about how this came together.
Chris and I were both in a band called Zeppo Montana, and it's a rhythm and blues band in Missoula. And we played music together for about 5 years in that, and both decided we wanted to write our own music and start an original project. And that was where it all came from originally. And then we spent quite a few years trying to find the players that we wanted to play with and work with. And it's been about 6 or 7 years in the making now to get to this point. So I'm happy.
And to get it actually on, well, we used to say tape back in the day. Actually get it recorded. Yeah, actually get it recorded.
Yeah, we started in May. And so it's been about around almost a year of work to get it done. But it's done as best as we could, and we're happy with it. So it was worth the time.
We spent 5 years not even looking for members, just going over an approach to starting a band, as opposed to just, let's go out and find these players. Let's start playing as much as we can. We took this other approach of, let's really get our heads on straight of what we want to do and find the players that we really knew 5 years later that we wanted to be in this project. Players that really want to be a part of it and who really want to dedicate the time.
Well, you're kind of getting to what I was going to ask is if you had a vision in mind of what was going to be going on musically.
We did have a vision, and that's one of the things that has changed. You know, Ruthie and I both were very into down-tempo music, Portishead, bands like that, Morcheeba. And so we started writing kind of based off of that genre. But then it turns out that, well, these songs are kind of writing themselves, and so we're just going to follow the direction that they're going. Hmm. And it turns out there really isn't a direction per each song, but as a whole, it's starting to turn into an entity, which is great.
Tumble it all, motion granules splash and fall. hot on top and cool below. It all slips through the space of a toe. Waves waver in the dwindling light. The last siren cry bids a valley good night. The moon creeps silently along the rim. The air turns fluid and it's time for a swim. A tiny paradise if ever it goes. Land of the noses and the twinkly toes. Awake if given the chance. Cat-god monitors atop the cliff with the twitch of an ear and a tilt and a slip. Tiny paradise if ever it goes in a land of the noses and the twinkly toes.
One of the things that occurs to me and has occurred to me when I've been able to see you perform live is the mix of being, and I hate to just say a dance band because that in some ways it's putting you in a box, but I'm going to put you in that box and I'm going to break the box open. It's a band that maybe a way to put it is it's a band that people can dance to, it can party with, but there's far greater substance than some bands that you can party with and dance to. Does that make sense?
Exactly.
And how do you balance those things out? Because it seems like, you know, in order to draw people in, there's got to be a certain energy that comes for the music. And yet sometimes that can, the desire to maybe to get to that can get in the way of the substantive part.
A lot of strategy. Okay. Our set lists aren't just written the day of the show. You know, we try to take a lot of time to, you know, see where an audience is at the beginning of a night to the end. And, you know, we know people love to dance. And I feel that our music is there for them to do a bit of everything. So I think they should be able to dance and have a great time. But I also want them to feel something, you know, else than that. So it's, you know, trying to move emotion through music so that they can have a little bit of everything. So, you know, you can stay out of that box because, I mean, as writers, we get, you know, we don't want to just write dance songs over and over again. We, you know, we don't know what we're going to write. And so it's, you know, who knows what emotion could come out. But I think people want to feel different things through shows, I hope.
I am really stoked that the crowd is receptive and they don't just leave or get on their phones. And so that makes me think we're actually doing something right.
I don't want to be in any kind of band where there's any pause on stage. Everybody's looking at each other and you kind of guess what song. I'd far rather have just, you know, music moving and notes stopping because, I mean, I am scared of people leaving when we go into our slower music. You know, I know the kind of energy that that's putting off. So it's like, you know, just keep moving. And maybe if they don't like a song, I can guarantee that it's going to be a completely different style of music in about, 3 minutes to six. So yeah.
Interesting that you put it that way, too, that the fear of people leaving if you express yourself in a certain way,
You never know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's a strange thing with, original music because, those songs are stories and things that we've both gone through and, it's kind of like giving your heart on a plate to a group of people.
I was going to say, do you feel more vulnerable when you are putting yourself out in a song that is more vulnerable? How do I put this? That's a slower song.
Absolutely.
It's a more sensitive sort of song musically that most people would perceive it that way.
But what I've found is that I think that's more in our heads than the crowd. The crowd usually seems to enjoy them. And I think we're more nervous about performing a song that may be in a weird diminished scale or off key or in an odd time. The crowd just seems to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And then it makes the song that is in 4/4 and danceable that much more entertaining for them.
We hope.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musician Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Ruth Data and Krista Perry from Laksa Kartel. I wanted to ask how the creation of a typical Laksa Kartel song comes together. Is it safe to say that each song starts with the two of you putting the template together and then putting it forth to the band.
Yes, it does. I find that it seems to happen often on Saturdays. But there are other times, too, where, you know, we were in a cave in Utah and we wrote a song called Cave. Or, you know, it's sometimes they work that way. Sometimes they work the other. But I enjoy all the writing process more than anything. It's so satisfying to go through an entire day and by, you know, 9 o'clock at night, you can just sit back and listen and then imagine what the group of musicians we have will do to it. Because they take their own spins on it, and, you know, Ben Schuberg adds quite a few different parts to it with his flute and trumpet and soloing sections. You know, they really, really do help quite a bit with, you know, the way that the music is arranged. So it's really satisfying to see the whole process come full circle.
Ruth, you mentioned how much you enjoy the writing process, and I'm just juxtaposing that with your background in, you know, working with Zeppo and doing R&B music and doing other people's tunes. Was writing something you were doing throughout that time as a singer for, or, you know, the front person for an R&B band? Or is that something that you just kind of dove into with this project?
I dove into this with Chris.
Really?
Yes. No, he's it's a pleasure to work with him. I've learned so much and been able to give him the chance to write, you know, and opposed to being in a cover band, which it is really, really fun. You know, you can have a great time and people are always, you know, doing their thing, but it's so satisfying to be able to go out and write your own music and have people ask whose song it is and be actually able to say that it's ours. And, you know, instead of someone, you know, you sing in Chain of Fools and, you know, some person in a crowd be like, oh, that's a great song. Did you write that? You know, and
dear.
It's just, it's the opposite. The opposite feeling, you know, and, you know, you can sing other people's music all day and know that it's a great song. You know, you can't go wrong with great cover songs. They're great songs for a reason, but
Definitely
put yourself out there to do original music and be like, well, this is what I, you know, and it's always changing. I don't even know what my style of music is anymore because it just constantly is changing. So it's, you know, it's far more satisfying at the end of the day.
And Chris, were you working on writing original tunes before?
I have been for a long time. When I was 15, I had my first band, and I was kind of in charge of that. We were very bad musicians at that point, but we were writing original stuff, so that was fun. And then that kind of went away, and I thought, you know, before I want to do this again, I really want to see how much I can learn and get out there and play in as many different cover bands, whatever kind of bands as I can, and not be have anything to do with the writing, not have anything to do with structure. And, you know, turning 34, it's like, okay, maybe it's time to try this again. And, yeah, it's great. And, you know, the writing is basing things off of just feelings, not like, okay, we better write a song in D minor because I like that key or something. Mm-hmm. It's just, okay, well, I'm very worked up about work today, so I'm just going to get that frustration out. That's how we got the work song.
That song is called Work.
And sometimes, you know, I think most writers feel this, you can't write a song to save your life on certain days. And I think it's great to just write that horrible song and get it done with and never play it anywhere. At least that way, when it does hit you, you are on your toes and you're ready to roll with the next song that is actually really good.
Off the fence.
Black holes are growing dope while the robots just won't pretend.
Rules came by, looked you in the eye, took you to the scrap them off the fence. Crows came by, looked you in the eye, took you to the scrap them off the fence. Too late, oh Mother Earth, where was your home? Sat up shouting in the back of your car when the ghosts came calling again. Secret made it down the road, but you wound up the river again.
Crows came by, looked you in the eye, took you to the scalp them off the fence.
Crows came by, looked you in the eye, took you to the scalp them off the fence.
Let's talk about the lyrics to the songs, because I'm getting the impression you two are players. You're coming to it, you know, relatively later in your career as a musician. So let's talk about, you know, when you decide, okay, we're going to write these songs, they're going to be original songs, we're going to put words to them right. and get beyond key signatures and time signatures and stuff and put lyrics to these melodies. Talk about that a little bit.
You know, most of our songs are stories about something. You know, they're all stories of, I find that I like to write about things that have happened or, you know, just, you know, like a witness giving a report of the things that you experienced. And some of the songs, like that song called Work, and their other ones are all also about being a musician. I mean, just about having to try and do your day-to-day work and then start your day job at 5 p.m. with, you know, your double shot espresso and then work as long as you can, you know, and just the different challenges you face in it. And it is a crazy thing to be consumed by music. Mm. Normal people start looking at you funny when they're like, so how's your day? And you're like, wow, there's this and this. And all you can think about or talk about is music.
LocksawCartel.com is the name of the website that we want listeners to check out. If you want to find out more about the group, I'm going to spell the name of the group again, LocksawCartel, LocksawCartel.com. That's where you can find out more about the group and where they're going to be performing and more information about their debut self-titled CD. Ruth and Chris, thank you so much for making time to visit with us and talk shop with us here on Musician Spotlight. It's been a pleasure getting a chance to meet you guys and get a chance to speak with you. I hope to talk to you again down the road.
Thank you. Thanks, so
John.
Much.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today has been Locksaw Cartel. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org, as well as through Facebook. Our program is now available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.